2 Samuel 22, chapter 22. And we're going to start in verse 2. Verse 2 says, "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." Man, somebody ought to say amen to that, because that just said what our God does for us. When we start understanding, and what we're going to do is we're going to start, and I'm going to give y'all a baseline. So our God is this good. Our God is our fortress. He's my rock. He's my savior. He's my deliverer. He's everything it says right there. Psalms 18:2 says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, in whom I'll trust. He's my buckler. He's my horn of salvation." And it goes on to say that he saves me from my enemies. What a God. Amen. So we get so caught up sometime in, oh, woe is me. But all we have to do is go back and go, wait a minute. My God is my strength. My God is my rock. My God is my fortress. My God is my refuge. My God is my high tower. Shouldn't that make you feel better? Shouldn't you know that that's what I have covering my front and my back and my side and my head? Because we put on the whole armor of God. You don't have to write this down. You can go look at it later, but a lot of us know it. It's Hebrews 13:8. And it says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday as he is today, as he is forever. Amen? We were at a minister's conference in Amarillo, and there was a pastor speaking. And I never heard him before, and he was incredible. Just loved the guy. And he talked about this scripture. I have preached on this scripture before. And I never even seen what he just, I'm fixing to tell y'all. If in the Amplified, the word "the same," in the Amplified, it means eternally changeless. Y'all, did y'all hear that? Eternally changeless. That means he never changes, ever. I have read that scripture over 1,000 times, y'all, and I had never in the Amplified read, or it was not time for me to receive, that he is eternally changeless. Wow. So the base of this is that he's my fortress, he's my strength, he's my rock, he's my high tower, he's my refuge, he's my savior, he's my deliverer. Oh, and then we go to Hebrews, and it said he's the same yesterday as today is forever. So he's always going to be my rock. He's always going to be my savior. He's always going to be my deliverer. Deliverer. Everybody say that now. But do y'all understand? He doesn't change. He's eternally changeless, so he's always going to be my rock. He's always going to be my strength. Whoo! Man, that is good. Amen. Amen? So when the title of this message is "Get Out of the Way," I'm speaking to you and you and you and you and you and you and me, because if I were to, and I won't, but if I were to say, all of you who have gotten in the way of God before, raise your hand. No, 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 I said don't. Oh, my Lord. Probably much, it'd be pretty close to 100%. I know there's a few perfect people in here, they think. They think. Because we know the only perfect person was God, right? But so, when we get out of the way, I want to look at some different places in the Bible. Y'all find Matthew. Because when I talk about getting out of the way, you hear people go, oh, well, let God have it. Okay. What does that mean? And what are you letting God have? And so if you let God have it, do you really not do anything? I mean, because there's a lot of questions in there, right? And my wife's the one that usually asks all the questions. But I'm asking you those questions. There's a lot of questions in that. If you let it go, what are you letting go of? Do you know what's blocking? How have you gotten in the way of God not doing what you've been asking for? Amen? So you hear, let God. Well, so there's a time to let God do it. In Romans 12:19, God tells us that vengeance is His. We're not supposed to do anything, right? If we're being attacked by someone, but you know, when it talks about our enemies, and it also in Deuteronomy, it says basically the same thing. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, vengeance and recompense is mine. So in other words, stay out of my business is what He's saying, right? Those enemies that come against us, He will take care of. But see, we look at, this is where it's, we start talking about things that get in our, that we use, allow to get in the way of God. Enemies can be more than just people. See, when we talk about enemies, we're talking, you think, oh, a person. Because I remember that guy, he was ugly to me. He was hateful. He was rude. But see, that's what we have to get away from, it just being a person. See, it can be anything, and we're going to look at some of those. Matthew 8. So those were a couple of instances where God tells us to stay out of it. So let's look at a few times that there should have been something done, but it didn't happen, and God had to take care of it. He will. So let's look at verse 24. So this is the story of, we remember, the disciples were on the boat. It says, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And you can figure God went back to bed. Jesus went back to bed. And He's telling them. So what's crazy is these disciples have been traveling with Jesus. They knew what was He was going to do when they went in there. He was going to come out and fix the problem. When in yet, they have that power. They have, but yet they had that fear. They had that fear that, oh no, immediately they went to fear. And what do? Jesus, you with me? Stay with me. So let's look at Peter. Go to Matthew 14. You know, Peter, before he got the Holy Spirit, he walked with Jesus, right? He saw Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle. And so this is one of my favorite Peter stories. Matthew 14. Let me get there. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, not afraid. Be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? As I was studying this yesterday or day before, I don't remember, the Holy Spirit said, have you ever asked God for something? Because Peter did ask God, right? Right here he said, if it's you, God, bid me come. God says, come on. So Peter goes, all right. Then he freaked out. So have you ever asked God for something? And you took two or three steps into the midst of it, and all of a sudden you freaked out? Huh? See, you got in your own way. That fear got in your own way. But yet, Peter had it for a step. He had it, but then he didn't have it. There's a lesson there, y'all. Listen. Peter went on to deny Jesus three times. He denied Jesus three times. Even one time he rebuked Jesus. Y'all remember? He was filled with fear and undoubt. Peter was. And as again I was saying, he walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus heal all these people. He saw Jesus do all these miracles. And yet when it was his time to walk on water, he freaked out. He freaked out. But after Peter gets the Holy Spirit, he became a bold preacher. He preached the gospel to Jews, and over 3,000 people were saved because of that power that he received. Y'all getting it? You with me? Y'all go to Matthew 17. Here's another one of those situations where Jesus expected his disciples to do something and they didn't do it. We'll start in chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore and vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into water. If you study this out and you find out that it was the boy had epilepsy. He was having epileptic seizures. Verse 16, and I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, their faith was not. Can y'all imagine walking with Jesus and seeing the things that he did and then not have the faith to lay the hands on the sick and to heal somebody? We're going to get to that. Hold that. Y'all hold that right there, right? See, what this shows right here is a lack, listen to me, what this says right here is a lack of trust or confidence in God, not in God, in God's power in you. Amen? See, when we understand that now that we have the Holy Spirit, we have that power. We have that power to do those things. In all these instances, Jesus rebuked the devil or rebuked the disciples for doubt, fear, and unbelief. So, as I was studying this week, the Holy Spirit called that the big three. It's the big three, man. Because that's what most people look at when they think about getting in the way of God. My fear got in the way of God. My unbelief got in the way of God. My doubt got in the way. I allowed that to happen. But the Holy Spirit has shown me that it's also about that addiction that gets in the way of God moving in your life. It's about worry that gets in the way of God moving in your life. It's about being lazy that gets in the way of God moving in your life. I made a whole anger gets in the way of God moving in your life. Complaining, whining, moaning, and groaning. You see, when we do that, When we ask God for something and then we complain because we're not getting it, guess what? You're getting in the way. You're allowing whatever to get in the way of that blessing that God's trying to get to you. God says, I've got it for you. Let go of that junk. Get out of your own way. Have you ever been in your own way? Yes. But see, it's time that if you want to grow in the Word and you want those blessings to come, get out of your way. But you have to do something to get out of your way. You have to let go of that pride. Oh, here's one I didn't say out loud. Pride. Whew, Jesus. And I used the example at Bible study the other night that Pastor Corey was talking about praying in tongues and us having our own prayer language. What the Word says, once we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the gift. We can have our own prayer language. But I have counseled, my wife and I have counseled people, plenty of people that go, I want it, but I just can't get it. And most of the time, it's their pride will not allow them because they just, oh, I want it, but it's getting out of your own way. It's getting out of your own way to develop that prayer language. Amen? Oh, here's a couple more. Guilt and shame and unforgiveness. Oh, wow. I mean, the list goes on, but we use those excuses. But how many times do you hear somebody go, no, I've forgiven them? And then a day or two later or something, you say, well, you don't know what they did to me 20 years ago. Well, wait a minute. You just told me you forgave them. Then why are we talking about what they did 20 years ago? See, because that's still a blocker. You're still getting, that's in the way. And you're allowing that to be in the way. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. So I wrote this down. Through the Word and prayer, we can develop our faith. Therefore, getting out of the way in some situations may involve putting to death. Ooh, did y'all hear that? Putting to death our fears, our doubts, our worry, our anger, our complaining, our whatever it is that you're using to get in the way. What are you allowing to be in the way? Allowing the Holy Spirit in us to take over and use us to speak directly to the mountain in Jesus' name with no doubt. And the mountain moves. In this way, God uses us to move the mountains. Amen? See, when we're in the midst of a trial or tribulation, we've got to remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says that God will never allow us to be tempted more than man can handle. And it was like what we were talking about with our God a while ago about tithes and offerings, where He supplies the seed for us to sow. In this scripture, it says God will always have a way out for us. Amen? Man, y'all ought to be hollering this morning. Y'all sitting there. Come on. Let's get fight. That's a great God we serve, y'all. That even though we're going through something, He's going to have us a way out. Woo! Man. Y'all turn to Acts 16. Say amen when you get there. Say oh my when if you're not. Amen. We got one amen. Oh, thank y'all for joining in this morning. This side's waking up over here finally. We serve an awesome God, y'all. And it says, our pastor says He's a fun God. You know, He doesn't beat us up. He corrects us because we need to be corrected. But our God is a fun God. And we can laugh in church. It's okay. That's right. Because He created Ricky. Y'all know. When Jesus and God, they're sitting up there going, oh, what's He getting into now? Isn't it fun? This is the way life is supposed to be. You know, we can serve God and have fun. A lot of people think, oh, that serving God can't be fun. No, it is. Because we know we win in the end. Amen? And so how we get there, what we do between there and when it's from here to there, is why don't we have fun and serve God and get other people saved and bring them to the Lord? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. And you know what? If I was on the other side of the coin, I'd much rather have somebody that was laughing and cutting up and having fun and trying to talk to me about Jesus than somebody coming up and going, "Have you heard about the Lord this morning? I'd like to tell you about Jesus. Now you listen, you're going to go to hell if you aren't saved." But hey, come on. You see, and we laugh about that. There are people out there. Oh my Lord, it's scary. But isn't it better, man, when, golly, let me tell you about my Lord. I love Him. He's so good to me. See, I want to hear about that. Oh, yeah, tell me more. You know, that's what opens those doors. Y'all found Acts yet? Acts 16. Okay, so we're going to look at some different situations real quick that shows how when the Holy Spirit shows up. And do you just pray to God or you just handle it yourself? Okay, so we're going to look at Paul. Acts 16, and let's go to verse 16. "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour." See, Paul didn't go, God, what do I do? God, can you handle this girl for me? No, the Holy Spirit said, Paul, you handle it. And Paul said, come out of there, demon. And bam, it was gone. See, that's knowing when that power that you have, that you can speak to demons, right? One of the stories that I told at Bible study, I'll tell y'all, is that a lot of y'all have heard of Trey Johnson. You know, him and Corey started in the ministry together. Trey's preached here before. Well, Trey just got back from Africa the week before we met in Amarillo. And he, man, the things that he told us, he said, we laid hands on people that had tumors out to here. And he said, you would see that tumor dissolve under your hand, laying hands on them and praying over them. And people go, oh, we don't see that over here. It's because we haven't learned that the only thing we've got is God. He said over there, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. But they know that God is the way. That they are saved, and so when they need prayer, they need healing, they believe that they are healed when somebody prays for them. And he said, Ricky, and he said he was up there preaching one day, and he said they had a worship team of 40 people up there, and he said it was amazing. He said they worshiped for 3 hours before the preaching started. And he said, I was up there preaching, and he said there was a woman that was demon possessed over here. She was screaming and just screeching. And he said, I looked over there and I said, demon, come out of her. I said, one of you worship people, go lay hands on her. And this one lady went. And he said, she ran out the door. See, she wasn't like Paul. Paul was ready. Paul was prayed up. He was studied up. And he listened to the Holy Spirit that, demon, come out of there. And he said he got two or three other people and they went over there and took care of it. He said, but you should have seen her. She went, and he said she ran out the door. But see, in this instant, Paul didn't have to think. He didn't have to ask Jesus. That Holy Spirit said, no, you just command that demon to come out of there and it will. Because that's the kind of faith Paul had. Whew, Jesus. I love this. Acts 19. This is amazing to me. Acts 19, verse 11. And it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Y'all, listen to it in the Amplified. Then some of the traveling... verse 12. So that even handkerchiefs or face towels or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. That's how anointed Paul was. That's how prayed up Paul was. That's how he had the faith. That they took handkerchiefs that he touched and aprons that he touched, and they took it and they laid on the sick people, and those people were healed. Oh, Jesus, I want to be that way. Don't you want to be that way? We should strive to be able to do that. Our faith. Man, Paul, in verse 13, I love this. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. That last sentence, they would pray over those evil spirits, and this is how they would finish. I implore you and solemnly command you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. What? See, that's why it didn't work for the exorcist, because they said in the Jesus that Paul preaches about. They didn't say in the Jesus that's the Lord and Savior of my life, I command you to come out of there in Jesus' name. See, they didn't know how to use the name of Jesus. But once we get the Holy Spirit, we have that power. I put this is being meditated up, prayed up, no doubt, no fear, faithed up to the fullest. Something we should strive. It was just dripping off of Paul. Don't you want to walk down the street and it being dripping off you like that? Now, some of you out there may be sitting there going, that was Paul. I can't do that. Well, in John 14, 12, Jesus says, verily I say unto you, anyone that believeth on me will do the same works I did, and they will do greater works than I did, because I go to the Father. Okay. Holy Spirit, it's just, so you won't call Jesus a liar? Because Jesus said, you will do the same thing and you will do greater things than I did. Jesus said that. Okay? So you can have that same kind of faith that Paul had. Amen? You can have that. So we have to learn when to back off. So just like Paul attended to that right then. He didn't allow anything to be in his way. He attended to that. So when is the time that you need to back off and go, oh, wait a minute. We listen to the Holy Spirit. So go back to Acts 16. See, I didn't have a bunch of turning pages, just right there close. Acts 16, and we're going to go to verse 23. Chapter 16, verse 23, sorry. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, this is after they cast the demon out of that woman, and now they're being ugly to him. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely who have received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. See, this is a time they didn't start fighting the chains. They just started praying to God, and they started praising. And verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. So see, this is a time that it wasn't about immediate action, but it was about, Father, it's yours, baby. And he took care of it. And Paul, being in that prison, was not in fear. He was, you know, probably hands above his head, and he's in there singing and praying to God. Man, he had no inhibition, no nothing about praising God. Amen? Quick side note, that not too long ago, my motorhome, one of the hoses, I'd taken it to town to get inspected, and I was across the street from the inspection place, got it inspected, went in to get a few things out of O'Reilly's and came back out, and it was dripping out of the back end. I couldn't stop. Like, well, at least it's already inspected, so that was a good thing. Hose. So I spent 6 hours trying to get somebody to come fix it. And the guy that finally comes fixes it was kind of Anyway, long story. The guy really didn't want to come to fix it, but he shows up. He comes up there, and y'all know that Ricky's not a mechanic, but I do have common sense and logic, and I know that when you cut a hose that hasn't been completely bled off, there's going to be stuff still in there. He cut it, and he was drenched in coolant from head to toe. And he went to cussing, and he went to doing lots of things. And he got out from under there. I should have stayed at the house. And so I can kind of feel, you know, that my neck's starting to get hot. You know, and then probably my ears were getting, because that's where they go. Well, they just, my ears do that anyway, but that's another story. But anyway, but I could feel that. I wanted to react kind of thing, like, really, this is where we're going to go here? And then, you know what the Holy Spirit did? The Holy Spirit said, sing. Sing. The guy had already gotten back underneath there, and I went, Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about that name. And I kept walking around that motorhome because that's what the Holy Spirit said. Jesus, oh Jesus. And I just sang that whole song for about, I don't know, seemed like a long time. Here in a minute, he got out of there. He got it fixed and everything was fine. And I didn't have to be ugly. I didn't have to do anything but sing, because the Holy Spirit said, just sing. And I thought, okay, here we go. I'm in the middle of the parking lot of O'Reilly's. Leaned up at first. I started out. I thought, okay, I'll kind of Bing Crosby it, and I leaned up against the back of my motorhome. Jesus, oh, gee. More I started singing, though, I was like, oh, that feels good. Because the Holy Spirit, see. And the Holy Spirit's taking over the situation. Jesus, oh, there's just something about that name. Those are the times that we, if we're studying and we're praying and we're staying meditated and prayed up, you hear that. You know when it's time to do which action. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Or, Jesus, oh, Jesus. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us, y'all. Is it shows us how to get out of the way. Are y'all with me? Okay, we're getting close to landing this aircraft. So, I'm thinking, okay, Holy Spirit, more, give me more. So he said, one of the biggest blockers, one of the biggest things that we allow to get in the way, that causes those things to get in the way, is our mouth. And I went, never thought of it as a blocker or a get in the way. I know that we know about what we profess, confess, declare. But see, we start knowing that when something arises, and if it's something bad, and we go, oh, there's a problem. Well, there sure is, and you just made it worse by saying that. Right? Hey, you know, because when my wife goes, hey, Ricky, come here. She doesn't say there's a problem, but when she says it like that, I know what that sounds like. But I always know when I go in there, it's not necessarily a bad problem. It's going to be an entertaining problem. See, because it's how you look at those problems, right? That's what our mouth does for us, y'all. Either it allows us to go this way or it allows us to go this way. Now, again, there's so many new faces every week, but there's a lot of you that are here that we know that have been going here a while. And some of you go, oh, well, I don't know when a situation arises, I really don't know what to say. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Even if you don't study the Scripture a lot right now, you should. I encourage you to. But one of our things that our pastor says, and you hear Howdy say it, and you'll hear me say it, and you'll hear Rusty say it, is, I'm the head and not the tail. Amen? When something comes against you, you go, no, no, no. I'm the head and not the tail. That's what the Word says. The Word says I'm above and not beneath. That's what should come out of your mouth. There's also little short ones like, I quench every fiery dart the wicked one brings against me in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. There's four little verses right there that if you say and you say it in Jesus' name, that has the power that lives within inside of us, that every demon has to flee, that every problem you face will start getting better if you'll start speaking that kind of thing instead of that, oh, we have a problem. Amen. Come on. Gee. I still got two pages left, but I'm kidding. But see, there you go. I like him. What comes out of your mouth? See, the word says that out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. What are you putting in your heart? What are you putting? That's what it says in Luke 6:45. Faith-filled words that are full of life. I'm the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. If you're fighting something, I'm healed by your stripes in Jesus' name. I've had the dreaded stuff, you know, gets right there, can't get it out. You know, I lost my voice on Monday because of that stinking, well, I'm just not going to say it because it's not very, you know, amen, that's right. But I've been speaking to that. I am healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed by your stripes. You will not have no dominion over me in the name of Jesus because the word says I have authority over everything. Amen. Start speaking to that junk. See, Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the... See, y'all know Scripture. Use it. Start using it. I love this because we just got to throw this in there. James 1:2 says that when we're going through divers and temptations, trials and tribulations, you know, we know the Scripture. It says to count it all joy. And we've all been in the midst of trials and tribulations, and sometimes it ain't joy, you know. But I also read that in the Passion Bible. In the Passion Bible, I love it because it says, in trials and tribulations, it's an opportunity to have joy. See, when it says it's an opportunity, when it puts it that way, it's because you have a choice. You have a choice. Do I count it all joy, or do I count it as, oh no, I got a wart on my big toe and it's a pain in my foot? Right? But if I count it joy, then I call that healed in Jesus' name. And I call that there's no pain in the name of Jesus. And it is gone from my body in the name of Jesus. So we're closing. So I put down and I like this. So y'all ready? Bible study people already heard this line. But I love it. And so I hope you do too. How do we get the Paul dripping, bold, confident, demon-extracting faith? See, don't you want, when you think about Paul in that, you think about that faith just dripping off of him. Man, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, man, he's prayed up, he's meditated on the Word, he walks in the Word, and it's just dripping off of him. How do we get that? You ready? Number one. Read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. And as I told Bible study, I'm giving you just the way the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Number two, meditate on the Word, meditate on the Word, meditate on the Word. If you're taking notes, just put meditate on the Word times three. I'm trying to help you. I could take some notes now in school. Number three, speak the Word. Speak the Word, speak the Word. Number four, trust in the Holy Spirit, trust in the Holy Spirit, trust in the Holy Spirit. See, because in Galatians it tells us that if we live in the Spirit, then we should walk by the Spirit. Amen? And then in 2 Timothy it tells us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. And see, that power, man, and that love and that sound mind, that's what we stand on, y'all. Our God is so good. Our God is so good. We have to get out of our own way. But when we get out of our own way, we're still doing something. We're still doing it. We're walking the Word. We're talking the Word. We're speaking the Word. And if you want to fuss at somebody, get in the Word and learn how to fuss at them biblically. It's in there. Yeah, it's in there. Yeah, so just instead of cussing them out, biblically reprimand them. That's a nice way of putting it, right? Amen. Did y'all get something this morning? Amen. All right. Well, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know we never close the service without giving somebody to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never given Jesus your heart, we want you to do that today. And we're just going to say a prayer. We're not going to do anything embarrass you or anything else, but I beg you, if you haven't ever made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now. We're going to say a prayer out loud, and we're going to have all believers say it with us out loud, because we need to learn this prayer, y'all. We need to get people saved, because you can look at the world and see what's going on, and it's junk. But it's how we live it, whether it's junk or not. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus, believers, y'all say it with us. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead 3 days later. Father, I thank you that today, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, Lord, that I will work to get out of the way in Jesus' name. Now, before you lift your head, everybody keep your head bowed, please, and your eyes closed. If you just accepted Jesus today, you said that prayer and you asked Jesus to come in your heart and save me. And on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We want to just give you a Bible. Put it right back down, because see, the Word says, never be afraid to acknowledge me before man, and I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So on the count of three, if you just gave your heart to Jesus, be bold. Get that hand up there. One, two, three. Anybody? One. Thank you, sir. Welcome, brother. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Be bold. Yes. All right. Y'all look up. We got a new brother in Christ. Amen.